Having me out. I always get a little nervous driving these roads from Red Deer out to Three Hills, but today they were lovely. Like, I was kind of dreading it, but it was nice, it was sunny, nothing was slippery, so it's already a good day. I've already survived. Okay, I don't usually run my own slides. Am I doing? Okay, there they are. Good. This is new since last time I was here. Very fancy. Okay, we are talking about the parables. You guys are going through the parables this semester, and I think that is excellent because so much of what Jesus talks about are through the parables, but the parables can sometimes be a little challenging to understand. Jesus is speaking through story, and sometimes it feels a little like riddle, and we're trying to figure out. The good news for us today is the parable we're going to go through is one that Jesus takes time to explain exactly what it means. So we don't have to get stressed about that today. We're going to look at the parable of the sower. I'm going to read it to us here. You can see it on the screen. I'm going to read Matthew's version of this parable. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, this parable in itself is not super relatable to me. Some of you probably grew up on farms and you are familiar with sowing and reaping and all of those things. I grew up in Minneapolis, like right in the middle of the city. The metro area of Minneapolis is about 4 million people. So, did not grow up on a farm. We didn't even have a vegetable garden. We had, you know, we had some flower beds. We planted a tree in our front yard. I remember someone gave me a little potted plant once, an African violet. And I was so proud of this little plant. And I had it in my room and kept it near the sun. And I bought it special plant food. And it immediately withered. Like, it had no chance with me. And that continues to be true today. I have, like, probably two houseplants, and they're always looking just on the edge. It's never good if a plant comes into my home. So that's about as far as my experience in agrarian society goes. But whether we kind of personally relate to this parable or not, this is a good one for us to look at today because it's probably a familiar one to many of us. We've probably heard this parable a lot. But what we need to do today is let these words of Jesus evaluate for us exactly where our hearts are at. And like I said, this is also a good one for us because Jesus takes time to explain it to his disciples. This isn't going to be one that's going to be really difficult for us to understand because Jesus takes time to talk through each of these soils and what they mean. The parable of the sower kicks off a whole series of parables that talk about the kingdom of God, what it means to enter into the kingdom, what the kingdom is like, what the kingdom is about. I heard a teaching a while back that I really appreciated that talked about the kingdom of God because I grew up a Christian. I knew a lot about the Bible. I knew a lot about these things, and yet I knew Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, but I never really had a full understanding of what that means when Jesus talks about the kingdom. And the speaker I heard brought it back to the Old Testament, so good for him. And he brought it back to the Exodus event, which I love because I actually think so many things in the Bible go back to the Exodus event. I think the Exodus is a really important piece of scripture for us to know well because it comes up so much throughout the rest of the Bible. And so he talked about the understanding of the kingdom of God in the scripture, and especially for Jesus's first listeners, would have gone back to the events of the Exodus. And they would say that the Exodus is an example of the kingdom of God coming. And it comes in three stages in the Exodus. The first stage is that God breaks in with power. with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And we see that in the Exodus with all these signs that he does, how he makes a sea into a highway and he brings his people out. God steps in power, the first step of the coming of the kingdom of God. The second step of the coming of God's kingdom would be that God's power is then recognized and he is praised for it. He is recognized as the king. We see this in the Exodus, right? The Israelites cross the Red Sea and they're standing on the shore of the Red Sea in Exodus 15. And they say, the Lord reigns. The Lord is reigning. The Lord will reign. He is recognized to be king. And the third step of the coming of the kingdom of God is that that king is then obeyed. And this is where we get the law, right? God brings them into the desert and he says, you've seen everything I've done for you. Do you want to belong to me? Do you want to be my people? This is what it looks like. And he gives them the law. And they say, yeah, Lord, we want to do that. So the kingdom advances and the kingdom of God will thrive when people live it out, when people do the things that God asks of them. And that's exactly what Jesus is getting at here with the parable of the sower, with a lot of the parables that you're going to go through this semester. Because what Jesus is saying is he's saying, look, it's happening again. Remember the Exodus? Here it is. I am here and God has broken in with power through me because I'm God. That's what he's saying. He's doing all these signs. And he's saying, some of you are recognizing that. You see me breaking in with power and you are declaring that I am the Messiah. You're recognizing that I'm here with God's power. You're declaring that I'm king. And then he says, this now is where the rubber is going to meet the road. Because if you recognize my power, if you're declaring me king, then you have to do the things that I say. My kingdom is going to flourish and be fruitful when you walk it out, when you obey me. So these are what all of these kingdom parables are going to focus on. We just heard Jesus tell the parable of the sower. And at the end of it, he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. We call it the parable of the sower. It might be better called the parable of the hearer because that's what the soils are going to tell us. In the Bible, whenever anyone is instructed to hear something, hear, O Israel, it means that they are to do something. They are to obey. We respond. If we hear something, we respond to it. So this parable is going to show us all these different soils and how they respond to the seed, the word of God. Jesus is going to tell us through this parable that we can't just hear the news that he's king. We can't just believe the truth that he's king. We have to respond to it because the kingdom of God requires our participation. The problem with God's people all throughout the Bible, the problem in my life today is that we often become willingly deaf, a phrase that Dr. Roberts used when she talked to my church about her studies in Isaiah. Isaiah talks about how people become willingly blind and willingly deaf. And that's why Jesus actually later in this same passage, he quotes from the book of Isaiah. And he talks about how people choose not to listen. They choose not to understand. They choose not to respond. It's not that we can't. We decide not to. We become willingly deaf. So as we walk through this parable today, like I said, the challenge is not going to be, can we understand what Jesus is talking about here? The challenge is going to be, are we willing to hear it? Are we willing to actually respond to the words of Jesus? So as we look at these soils today, that's the question we need to continually ask ourselves. Do I have ears to hear? Am I willing to respond? With the parable of the sower, it's easy for us to kind of jump right into these different types of soil, and we're going to get to that and how they kind of represent us and our hearts. But anytime we read a passage of scripture, I think one thing that's important to do, anytime you read a chunk of scripture, stop after you've read it and ask what this passage can teach us about who God is. What does it teach us about his character? I think the main thing that we see in the parable of the sower about the character of God is that this sower, this one who is sharing the word of God, this seed, he does it liberally. He is not going down this row with, you know, seed by seed, measured out very carefully, planting it in excellent soil, making sure it's going to grow at the right time and at the right amount of spacing. This sower is scattering seed everywhere. It's falling on hard ground, it's falling on rocky ground, shallow soil, good soil, it's falling everywhere. He is sowing the seed liberally. God's truth is available to anyone. The sower wants the message of the kingdom to grow. And that's exactly what we know. 1 Timothy 2 tells us, right? That God desires that everyone would know him and the salvation that Jesus has offered to us. That's the character of God. This is the character of God we see from the very beginning of the biblical story, when sin enters into the picture in Genesis 3, and then God works all throughout his story to bring people back into relationship with him, to invite people back into his presence. He wants to dwell among us. He wants us to know him. His love for the whole world has compelled him to action, compelled him to sow this seed. He sends Jesus for our sake, and that is the character of God. And if we are followers of this God, that is to be how we imitate him as well. It means that we share that good news about Jesus. We share the message of the kingdom with our family, with our friends. We live in a way, not just talk in a way, we live in a way that declares the kingdom of God, that declares that Jesus reigns. We don't know what kind of soil we're sowing in when we interact with people. We don't know if it's hard ground or if it's good soil. That's not up to us to know. God will do the work of that. The Holy Spirit draws people and softens hearts. It's our job just to be like the sower. Okay, we're going to get into these different soils here. So the sower goes out, he sows this seed, the word of God, the message of the kingdom. Verse 4 says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And Jesus later will explain this to his disciples. He says that the seed that falls on the path is about people who hear the message about the kingdom, don't understand it, and then the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This seed falls on hard ground. It falls on hearts that are calloused. Before it has any chance to take root, our enemy, the devil, comes and he snatches it away before it can sink in. This is what the enemy is eager to do. He is eager to scoop up any hint of the gospel, any morsel of God's truth, before it can lead people to salvation, to discipleship of Jesus. So what Jesus is saying here is just a sad and a blunt truth. Not everyone is going to listen to his message. Not everyone's going to receive it. If we look at where this parable falls in the book of Matthew, Jesus has gotten really popular. At the beginning of this chapter, it says that there are such large crowds gathered to listen to Jesus that, you know, he has to get into a boat and push out so that he can speak to the crowds from there. Lots of people are enamored with Jesus. But Jesus knows that that's not true of everyone. There are those who are suspicious of him. There are religious leaders who think that he is preaching the wrong message and they want to put a stop to it. And he knows that even among the crowd, even among all these people that are there to listen to his teaching, not everyone wants to hear, not everyone wants to really hear, not everyone wants to respond to what he has to say. And that's because following Jesus requires repentance. It means we turn away from our sin, our own way. It means that our lives change. He becomes Lord over everything. He calls the shots and we don't. So I have to think about, okay, the way I'm spending my time, the way I'm spending my money, the way I'm interacting on social media, who I'm dating. Jesus has a say over all of these things. And not everyone wants that. And Jesus knows that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm at a Christian college. But at a Christian college, I'm not going to assume that every single person in this room follows Jesus. You might be here because your parents wanted you to come to Prairie. You might be here because you grew up in Three Hills and you didn't want to leave home, or all your friends are here. You've gone to Christian school, but your heart is hard to the things of God. And if that is you today, hopefully what I am praying that the Holy Spirit will soften your heart to hear is that there is a God and he has revealed himself to our world through the person of Jesus Christ. And he loves you and he knows you personally beyond anything you've ever imagined. And his desire is that you do enter into his kingdom so that you can know the goodness of it. He wants to restore you to the relationship you were created to have with God. And there's also a real enemy who wants to snatch that away from your hard heart so that you never hear it. But Jesus says to us, any of us in here who have hard hearts, that if we have ears to hear, he wants you to know the goodness of his word. So do you have ears to hear? Are you willing to respond to what Jesus has for you? Jesus moves on, and he talks about seed in shallow soil. Some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Later, Jesus explains this. He says the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Again, if we go back to those first listeners of Jesus, he's doing well, right? He's this dynamic speaker. He's doing all these miracles and people are following him and they're excited. They want to be there. I want to be a part of this kingdom. This is cool stuff that's happening. This was like me and the Edmonton Oilers last June. They made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I hopped up onto that bandwagon so fast, like it was a blur. I do not watch hockey. I like football. I cheer for the Minnesota Vikings. It's heartbreak every year, but that's what I do. I don't watch hockey. I don't cheer for the Oilers. But suddenly they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals and all my friends are excited and everyone's super into everything and me too. I was like turning down invitations because I had to watch the game and I the game seven, I went to a workout class and I wore orange and blue and I was like learning stats and names like Dreisaitl and Bouchard and I mean, I didn't even know who I was anymore. I did already know who Connor McDavid was because I'm not a complete loser. I already had that. But I was like very into it. I was excited. They were doing well. But guess what? I have not paid one lick of attention to the Oilers since they lost in June. I know nothing. I've not checked. I'm pretty sure they're not doing as well as last year, but like that is as far as my knowledge goes. I was a bandwagon fan. I was in for the good times. And once it got hard, I was out. When Jesus is talking about this kind of soil that receives the word with joy, it's sincere in the moment. It's exciting. It's good. But when the teachings of Jesus get hard, when they require something from us, or when the things that Jesus says about how we're to live become unpopular, this soil doesn't have the depth that it needs to continue. The sun, whatever the sun is, unpopularity, criticism, persecution, it scorches those new plants and they wither away. When I was a teenager, a Billy Graham crusade came to Minneapolis where I lived. And, you know, Billy Graham is that amazing evangelist, and whenever he would come to anywhere, right, thousands and thousands of people would flock to see him, and he'd fill these huge, huge stadiums. And so this crusade came to Minneapolis, and I signed up to be a counselor at the crusade, which meant that when Billy Graham, you know, kind of invited people to accept Jesus, I would go down on the field, and I would talk to people, I would pray with them, and I'd get their information as they made a decision to accept Christ. These crusades were really powerful. So many people would come and so many people would come down. They would flood the field, wanting to accept Jesus because of what Billy Graham had said about him. And they were sincere. And yet, when the Billy Graham organization would follow up with many of those people, maybe a year later, they were not connected into a church. They were not living for Jesus. Not one thing about their lives had changed. They had said yes to Jesus. I want to declare that he's king. But then they went back to their regular lives, and their faith was challenged. All their friends are doing something else. They struggled to obey, and they withered in the sun. Some of us might be in that spot today. Maybe at one point your joy was truly genuine in Jesus. But it's faded away. Things have gotten difficult. There's, you know, that one thing you always struggle with, and it keeps coming back over and over again. So Jesus asks us that same question. Do we have ears to hear? Meaning that if we hear that piece of scripture today and we recognize ourselves in it, are we willing to do the work of responding? Are we willing to do the work of strengthening our roots so that they can go down deep and withstand the scorching sun? If you feel like you're in that spot today, I would recommend three things you have heard a gazillion times, three things that are not new to you. So again, the challenge is not to understand them or figure them out. The challenge is to do them. The first thing would just be to read your Bible. Pick it up and read it. It's not a magic book, but it is a living book. And God speaks to you through it. He speaks to your challenges. He speaks to your struggles and your heartache, all of it. Pick it up and read it because it'll show you how to deepen those roots. The second would be just to talk to God. When you're in trouble, when you're in danger of the sun scorching you out, call and ask for God's help. There's a psalm that says that God bends down to listen to us. He wants to help you. He wants you to call on him. And he'll strengthen you and help you to go on. And the third thing would just be to engage in Christian community. And you guys are in a spot where that will never, ever, ever be easier in your whole lives. You are surrounded by other followers of Jesus. You have events and things going on every day where you can engage with one another, with student development staff. You are at a time when you can be accountable to someone, when someone can be accountable to you in a way that probably won't ever happen again. So take advantage of it. Do we have ears to hear what Jesus has to say to us so that our roots can go down deep? Jesus then talks about thorny soil. He says that as the sower was sowing, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Jesus explains this in verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. In Luke's version of this story, he says that they hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. To me, this is probably the soil that's most relevant personally in my life. I think it's most relevant in my church's life, and I would guess it's the most relevant one here at Prairie too, because this soil is seemingly really good. We've received the word, and it's growing, and it's green. But then these weeds start to poke through. Jesus and this. Jesus and that. And it can keep us from being fruitful. It's the trouble that, again, we see all throughout the Bible and the Old Testament. It's syncretism. It's, I'm going to worship God along with this other God. He won't mind. And that, I think, is the thing that gets us in trouble over and over and over again. So I think for lots of us, we are in danger of being thorny soil, especially because of the culture that we live in. We are in a culture that values being busy and productive. And so, you know, you have your classes and you might work and you have this extracurricular and this sporting event and this and that and this and that. And we're actually praised when we have lots going on, when we're busy. Jesus in this, Jesus in that. We live in a culture that is incredibly anxious. We are more connected than ever before. We know everything going on in the world, good and bad, at all times. Social media is making everyone incredibly anxious about everything. We are filled with worries in life. We are a wealthy culture. And I know college students, we wouldn't describe ourselves as wealthy. And yet, we are. We are exceedingly wealthy compared to much of the world. And Jesus says in this parable, you know, you tend to think of this as a blessing, but I'm telling you it can be a hindrance to you. Your wealth can be great danger. In my own personal life, I often feel like thorny soil. I have lots of things going on, things that I allow to crowd the Lord out in my life. And I was thinking about that and thinking about why this is, and I think part of my issue is that it is easy for me to say, oh yeah, there's a couple thorns growing here. But I love the Lord. I do good things. I work at a church. There's some beautiful flowers growing in this garden. What's a couple weeds? I can live with them. Really what it is it's a struggle with apathy, a lack of concern for the weeds in my life. So I've been thinking about it, and I've prayed about it, and I got no flashy answers from God. Because it's the same question that Jesus keeps asking over and over. Do I have ears to hear? And when Jesus says that, he means, Denise, are you willing to do some weeding? Are you willing to do the work? Am I willing to obey? So what does obedience look like when you are thorny soil? Well, it probably looks like a lot of those same disciplines we already mentioned, reading our Bibles, talking to God, being accountable in Christian community. I think church every Sunday is so important. I think we have to go on Sunday to be reminded that all those things we worshiped throughout our week are false gods. And we have come here to be reminded of the true God and the true story, to be restoried so that we can go into our week remembering that He is God and all of these things are idols. I think when I think about the work I need to do on the thorns in my own life, I think about, well, Lent is coming up. This would be a good chance for me to think through something that I know is a weed and actually give that weed up. Do the work of pulling it out of my life. Lots of things we can do if we have ears to hear. I also think we need to be reminded of the glory and the majesty of our God. I think for some of us who have been Christians a long time, some of us who, you know, we're at Christian college and we're pursuing ministry and we have flowers growing in the garden and we can kind of cover up the thorns. Sometimes what I think will compel us to action is being reminded of the beauty of the God that we serve. A few weeks ago, I spoke at my church on Revelation chapter 5. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Revelation 5 is John having this vision of the throne room of God. And in this throne room, he sees the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is reigning as a slain lamb. And he sees the worship that Jesus is receiving from an inner circle, and then it moves out to all of heaven, and then it moves out to everyone on earth and under the earth and on the sea and everywhere. Everyone and everything is praising the Lamb. And they are praising Him because He was slain for our sake. They are praising Him because He has purchased people from every tribe and nation and tongue with His blood. They are praising Him because He is King and because He is Lord. They are praising Him because He is worthy. And I was thinking about the magnificence of this vision. And how the Lamb is being praised forever and ever and ever, always, throughout eternity, how big he is, how good he is, how glorious he is, how merciful he is. And then I was thinking about how that same God calls us his friends. You and me, people who choose the weeds over him all the time. And yet he invites us into relationship. He calls us friends. We have a great God who has come near. And he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of us doing the work to pull up those weeds. He's worthy of it. He deserves that glory. He deserves that effort. He hopes we have ears to hear. The last soil is the good one. The seed falls on it, and it comes up, and it yields a crop 100 times more than was sown. Jesus says that the seed in good soil are those who understand and produce a crop. These are the ones who have ears to hear. This is the soil that all of us should desire to be, that we seek to understand Jesus and then we put his words into practice. In Luke's version of this parable, Jesus explains that the good soil stands for those who have noble and good hearts. They hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. Note that this good soil, the crop still has to persevere. There's scorching sun still. There's probably some weeding that needs to be done every once in a while. Those roots have to work hard to dig down deep into the soil. But because the soil is receptive, because it responds to the seed, it produces good fruit, this bountiful crop, this bumper crop. When our hearts are receptive to the word of God, we get to join in on the work of the kingdom. I think again about those first listeners. I think about the disciples. The disciples who were not 50-year-old men with beards. They were likely teenagers. They were probably many of them about your age. They were young. And these disciples heard the words of Jesus. They saw his power break in. They declared that he was king. And then they obeyed him. And they went and they shared the message of the kingdom. They were good soil. They were receptive to God's word. And you and I are sitting here in Three Hills, Alberta today in 2025 because of them. Because they shared the good news of the kingdom. They were good soil. And we have heard the good news of the gospel because of their work. They were fruitful. We're invited to do the same. We're invited to have ears to hear and to live out the good news of the gospel for the sake of our family and our friends and a world that does not know it. And so as you continue in your studies, as you think about whatever your ministry might be, whether it's, you know, Christian ministry proper or working in the world, you are invited to join in on the kingdom. You are invited to be good soil, and God will produce a crop. It's his job to produce it. It's our job to be receptive and to have ears to hear the things that he says to us. And it's worth doing for the sake of our King, Jesus, who is and was and always will be worthy. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the chance to dig into it. And like I said, it's not a difficult one to understand. What's difficult is having ears to hear. What's difficult is us being willing to respond to you in obedience. And so I pray for each person in this room, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us through your word, and then you would help us to not just be hearers, but to be doers, that we would go out into our day doing the work that you've given us to do, that we would be good soil, receptive to your word, so that we can be a part of your advancing and ongoing story. We thank you that your kingdom has come and that your will is and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as one body here today, we bless you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys are free to go.